Welcome to the Winning Edge Coach Podcast with your host, peak performance mindset and life coach, Kevin Oakley. In each episode, Kevin will share with you the tools, tips, and strategies to help you to be the best you can be.
Hey everybody, you're listening to episode 52 of the Winning Edge Coach Podcast. This episode is all about burnout, the stages of burnout, the symptoms of burnout, plus more importantly, the tools and techniques you can use to recover from burnout and also how to prevent burnout. The number of workers reporting burnout is on the rise. A 2020 MicroBiz Mag study found that of 1,000 adults surveyed in the UK, 22% had experienced job-related burnout. A survey of 1,500 US workers by Indeed, the job aggregator site, found that burnout is on the rise. Over half, 52% of the survey respondents are experiencing burnout in 2021, up from 43% from Indeed's pre-COVID-19 survey. The COVID-19 pandemic has a dramatic change to the way we work, with a lot of people now working either full-time at home or part of the time at home. This has meant that we're constantly switched on. Work now is home, and home is work, and the two blur. This in itself provides for greater opportunities for burnout to arise. However, before we get started, I just want to remind you that all the episodes of the podcast are available on all the major podcast platforms. So if you've not had a chance to listen to any of the previous episodes, why not put some time to one side and give them a listen? If you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to hit the subscribe button or like button so that you can catch all the future episodes. If your podcast platform allows it, please leave a review because that helps us to expand the audience and gets us seen. Also, tell your friends about it and share the podcast on social media. Let's get the word out there. Let's share this information with as many people as we possibly can. The aim of the podcast is to make sure people aren't sleepwalking through life. I want people to live the life where they were meant to live and bring forth their gifts and talents into the world. Let's get on with episode 52. Okay, so what is burnout? Well, the World Health Organization defines burnout as a syndrome conceptualized as resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. It is characterized by three dimensions. Number one, feelings of energy depletion or exhaustion. Number two, increased mental distance from one's job or feelings of negativity, cynicism related to one's job. And the third point, reduced professional efficiency. Burnout can be caused by anything that makes a person feel either exhausted or overwhelmed. The term burnout was first coined by Herbert Freudenberger in 1974, who defined burnout as a state of mental and physical exhaustion caused by one's professional life. It is also important to note that burnout can affect anyone at any stage of their career. There are actually five stages of burnout in the workplace. And while workout can be caused by a variety of factors and each individual's experience is unique, generally there are five stages before experiencing burnout. The first stage of burnout is the honeymoon phase. This is the time when a person starts a new job and they frequently experience the first stage of burnout. Being eager and keen to impress, they use all their energy, ambition and desire to succeed and push through demands and challenges of a new role. With high levels of enthusiasm and commitment, they're keen to impress at this stage. A lot of the time, roles come with a six-month probation period or a one-month probation period. People at that stage are keen to impress. And the first phase of burnout or stage of burnout can be found in the honeymoon phase. And this is generally because they are so keen and so eager to impress that they'll take on more and more work and go above and beyond to demonstrate that they are worthy of the position and they are the right fit for the role. At this stage, without the adoption of the right corrective mechanisms and tools and techniques, they could very easily then move on to the later stages of burnout and become burnt out. The next stage of burnout is the onset of stress. After that initial honeymoon phase, many people start to experience the onset of stress. This is the stage at which the excitement of a new job has disappeared and people are now juggling the day-to-day tasks that their job presents. It is also at this stage that people start to notice parts of the job that they dislike. And it sometimes manifests itself as having days where they feel more stressful or decreased levels of optimism or liking for the role. Of course, stress is prevalent in any job and industry. But if you don't learn to manage the stress early on, it can lead to burnout and severely impact on both your professional and personal life. And of course, some industries and jobs are more stressful than others. Some of the signs to look out for at this stage, at the onset of stress stage, is included fatigue, work inefficiency, job dissatisfaction or avoidance of certain tasks. The next stage in the five stages to burnout is chronic stress. Burnout's chronic stress stage occurs shortly after the beginning of that onset of stress, and many of the same symptoms arise. However, more frequently and more acute, and also with bodily symptoms. This is where chronic stress actually manifests itself as physical ailments, and also anger, depression could result. The next stage is actual burnout. This is the crisis stage. Everyone has a breaking point, and stress on burnout are no exception. It's only a matter of time. Once a person has gone through the chronic stress stage before they hit burnout. Burnout symptoms are substantially more physical than those of the other stages. Burnout makes people feel empty, disconnected from their lives, as if they've lost control. And it's very tough for them to maintain any kind of normality. The final stage is the habitual stress stage. When a person suffers burnout and does not seek professional treatment, they then progress to the habitual stress stage. This is when a person's burnout symptoms have become ingrained into their life. They've become part of their day-to-day existence, even part of who they are. People who suffer from chronic burnout may be totally unaware of their condition. And again, more than likely will suffer from some kind of long-term physical ailment. So those are the five stages of burnout. But it's quite interesting that burnout actually alters your brain. Neuroscientists have discovered that burnout has the following impacts on the brain. It expands the amygdala. The amygdala is that fight flight part of the response in the brain. And it also regulates emotional reactions. An individual who is experiencing burnout will often find that their moods are worse. Also, when they are shocked or suffer a trauma, it creates a higher stress reaction. Burnout also causes thinning of the prefrontal cortex, the portion of the brain responsible for cognitive function. Thinning of this area occurs naturally as we age, but it occurs considerably faster in those who have been stressed for prolonged periods of time. This causes memory and attention span control issues in the areas of the brain as they're weakened. It makes learning more difficult. When you are chronically burnt out, you have brain damage similar to people who have experienced trauma. Burnout reduces connectivity in the brain, and this can lead to decreased creativity, reduced working memory, and reduced problem-solving skills. The great news is burnout can be reversed with using the proper tools and techniques and self-care. What I'm going to share with you now is my three steps for recovering from burnout. Step one is as simple as that. It is recovery. A study examined the brains of a group of stressed out medical students preparing to take their last licensing exam and discovered that their brains exhibited many of the impairments described earlier in the episode associated with burnout. Many of the changes in the brain were reversed after 4 weeks of relaxation. The students stopped having the side effects like shortened attention span and mood swings. So, one of the takeaways from this is that the effects of burnout are not permanent. By scheduling a break in time and giving yourself time to recover will help to restore the functions of your brain and reduce the symptoms of burnout. Now, I hear you saying that isn't always easy. You can't always just step away and take 4 weeks off. However, I'm going to propose that if you are chronically burned out, and please see your physician first, but it is time to take that step away and take a break. But the other way is to build and use the natural recovery breaks during the course of a working week and a working day. So first of all is the weekend. Take your weekend. It was Henry Ford who came up with the Saturday and Sunday weekend in the early 1900s. The reason why? Because he found it increased productivity. Prior to that, the six-day working week was quite common. And Ford found that by instigating the 40-hour week, his factories were more productive. And that was gradually adopted over time and has become recognised worldwide that the working week generally is Monday to Friday. Yeah, I appreciate some parts of the world it's a little bit different, but generally the pattern for the working week is a five-day week and we have 2 days to recover. So in terms of recovery, what I'm saying is use your weekend. Step away from your work and use the time to recover. The phases within that, or the tools and strategies within that, is one, forget work. Switch off. Let the brain time to recover, move away from the work, and spend time with family, enjoy your hobbies, exercise, get outside in nature. All of the things I've described in previous podcasts is implement them at the weekend. Use that time for self-care. Take up a hobby. Mix with new people. Interact with people. We are social animals. Use your weekend as your recovery at the end of the working week and do completely different things. But then the next one is use daily recovery periods. Step two is to build in daily recovery periods into your working day. And a bit of research that we conducted by Dirksen Becker back in 2014 actually found that daily recovery efforts were more important than waiting for the weekend or vacation. So by using and structuring your day correctly, you can build in recovery periods during your day and actually prevent and reduce burnout on a day-to-day basis. And what I like for this is the method invented by the Italian university student named Francisco Cirillo, developed back in the 1980s, where he used the tomato-shaped kitchen timer to create 25-minute intervals of work, which were called Pomodoros. And the way it works is that he would set the timer for a 25-minute cycle. During that time, he would work. When the timer went off, he would take a 3 to 5 minute break where he would go away and do something different. And the idea is you repeat this 25 5-minute cycle of break four times, so you get 2 hours in total, before you then take a longer break. So you're actually encouraging yourself to take breaks during your working day and give yourself time to recover. I really encourage this. You will also find that during those 25 minutes of intense work, you will be more focused, you will be more productive. And to make it more interesting, you can actually mark the number of completed cycles you complete of the 25 minutes and 5 minute breaks on a chart and try and get a streak going. I've talked in other episodes about the power of chaining events together and maintaining that chain. But the important thing is, don't get carried away. After four cycles, take the longer break. The next step, or the next strategy for me, is about taking back control and giving yourself that sense of control. When you're burnt out, overwhelmed, that is the one thing you lose. You lose that sense of control over what is going on in your world. You feel inundated, the work is piling up, and taking back control can be one of the most powerful things, and maintaining control can be one of the most powerful things. The tool I like for this is the Eisenhower Matrix, developed by Dwight D. Eisenhower, who was an American military officer, statesman, and 34th president of the United States. Eisenhower came up with a strategy for taking action and organizing tasks that is so simple, it's genius. Eisenhower developed a decision matrix, and I know I've covered this in a very early episode of the show, but I want to go back over it here now. The Eisenhower Matrix involves separating your actions into four possibilities. Action one is a task or a project that is urgent and important. These are the tasks that you will need to do immediately. The next one on the matrix is important but not urgent. These are the tasks that you will sit down and put time in your calendar to, and that is protected time in your calendar, and you will attend to those tasks on that day at that time. The next one is urgent but not important. These are tasks that aren't worth your time. You will delegate them to somebody else. These are not worth your time or effort in conducting these tasks, and you will pass them on to a colleague. It is a task you may even want to think about outsourcing. If you are an entrepreneur, a small business person, these are the tasks that you might want to think about outsourcing, going on to Fiverr, finding somebody who will actually do these tasks for you, because they are not beneficial of your time. And the last one are the tasks that are neither urgent nor important. And these are tasks you just will not do at all. You will just eliminate these tasks. They're not even worth considering. The beauty of the Eisenhower Matrix is that it helps to eliminate nearly everything so you can focus on the best use of your time. And let's talk a little bit about how you can put it into use for you. First of all, you drop all of the non-important and non-urgent tasks that don't give you any energy and are not worthy of your time. Next, you schedule all the important and non-urgent tasks into your calendar. So you block off chunks of time in the day. You, again, using the Pomodoro method, 2 25-minute blocks, 3 25-minute blocks if it needs it during the course of a day of that time, which is untouchable, that you will then sit down and complete that task, solely that task. You will always work on the important and urgent tasks next. These should be also be scheduled, but they will have priority. You will schedule your important and urgent tasks early in your calendar. They will be your primary task of any day. As I said earlier, you will delegate the non-important urgent tasks. These require attention, but it doesn't have to be your attention. And I've talked about we can outsource, you can hire a part-time assistant, you can delegate somebody in your team. Give a little bit of thought also how you want to structure your day. When are you the most productive? If you're the most productive first thing in the morning, you might want to use this time for the scheduling of tasks and on the tasks that are your important but not urgent. So your scheduling time for that focused work could be first part of the day. Again, it's important to understand what is your most productive time and use that accordingly. You then want to schedule the important and urgent stuff next. This is your firefighting, etc. And the final part of your day, the end of the day, when you're probably not at your best, you might want to use that for the non-important, urgent tasks that you can't delegate. Could be meetings, etc., that you'll then schedule towards the end of the day. However, it's finding what works best for you. And we are all individuals. And look at what structuring your day works for you. But the important thing is, once you come up with your system, is to stick with it and not be allowed to veer from it. Be very possessive with your time. By that I mean, if you have marked off a 3 25-minute blocks in your calendar to carry out that important but what was non-urgent but now you've scheduled task, it is protected time, and that is what you focus on. Nobody is allowed to put meetings in. Nobody is allowed to distract you. Everything is turned off. Your mobile is in flight mode. Your internet browser is shut down. If you can disconnect from the internet, it's done. And that is protected time for that important but non-urgent task that you scheduled. It could have been 2 weeks ago. You are going to complete that task now, and you're going to do the 3 cycles of 25 minutes with 5-minute breaks. By being protective and over your time, you will get so much more done. Also, using the Eisenhower Matrix, you will eliminate by either stop doing tasks that you don't need to do or by delegating tasks so much time out of your calendar. It will free up your time for the important and urgent and the important and non-urgent. And just by following the Eisenhower Matrix, you are taking back control. By organizing your day, you are taking control. By being protective of your time, you are taking control. But it needs to be ingrained as a habit, so you've got to stick with it and do it day in, day out, week in, week out. One of the sayings I love about productivity is, if you want to supercharge your productivity, invest in the best time of your day and the biggest opportunity, not the biggest problem. Lastly, on the subject of burnout, and a sort of a side tip, as it were, is the importance of sleep. Now, I know I've covered sleep numerous times on the podcast previously, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But if you're burnt out, it's important to focus on the quality of your sleep and implement the tools and strategies I've talked about in previous episodes in respect to sleep, which is get into a sleep routine, no devices before bed, i.e. cutting down on the artificial light. As Matthew Walker said, falling into sleep is a bit like landing a jumbo jet. It's a process that happens much further downstream and is a very controlled process. Bear that in mind. Build in a pre-sleep routine. In fact, if you want to really improve the quality of your sleep, you might want to give episode 38, The Ultimate Sleep Routine for High Quality Sleep and Peak Performance, a listen. That was the Winning Edge Coach Podcast. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of the Winning Edge Coach Podcast and you'd like to help support the podcast, please hit the subscribe button, and if possible, leave a rating or a review. Also, please feel free to share the podcast with others and post about it on your favourite social media platform. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Twitter @WinningEdgePod. Thanks again. I'll see you next time.